This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So for the next 55 minutes, you can just give us a call and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Boy, do we have a busy show for you today. Not only will we update you on the high school playoffs that have just started over at Breslin Arena, we'll talk about the big trade between the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. Tim Tebow is going from Denver to New York. And then the New Orleans suspension, and all those New Orleans suspensions, you know, the New Orleans fans were quite shocked to hear. They're going to lose their coach for a year. The GM will be lost for half the season. So there's a lot to talk about there. And then there's one little thing that probably just you missed a lot last night. Maybe a few of you didn't miss it, but this happened, which was really happened, is big for Detroit sports fans. Ben Gordon scored 45 points last night for the Detroit Pistons. He shot 9 for 9 from the three-point line. I don't think it's a new NBA record, but for the nine shots and nine attempts, that was a first. No one had ever made nine shots in nine attempts before. Some have made nine, but they took a lot more than nine attempts. But Ben Gordon scored 45 points, and guess what? The Detroit Pistons lost. So that's another thing that happened last night. So a lot of things going on tonight, today, and tomorrow. Michigan State baseball season starts tomorrow against Oakland. And this weather's been great, and they'll be starting against Oakland tomorrow, a three-game series. So give us a call to talk sports with us, 355-9527, toll-free 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.com. Well, let's talk with Sean Windsor from the Detroit Free Press about tonight's game between Michigan State and Louisville. And Sean, how you doing?
Not too bad, Earl. How you doing?
Hey, okay. Looking forward to this game tonight. What can you tell us? Well, I know the guys have to be looking forward. I know Izzo's probably going to use that thing that Louisville has never lost a game in the round of 16. Has he mentioned that? Of course, I'm pretty sure he has.
You know, I haven't heard him talk a whole lot about that. He did talk yesterday about this being kind of a payback game, even though the players are different. But, you know, with the coaches, he referred to this as a payback game because of what happened in 2009 and about how tricky that can be. But, excuse me, I'm still trying to get over a cold.
Okay.
But he talked about that. But the bigger issue, I think, really is the press and the quickness of Louisville guards and the perimeter of the wings in general.
Yes, now that would pose to be a big problem for Michigan State. I mean, I think they're fast enough to keep up and run, and the key is, do you think Keith Appling will be able to consistently break the press?
Well, I don't know that he can do it by himself, but he's going to be as fast as anybody on Louisville's team, that's for sure. I don't know about quite maybe as quick laterally. Peyton Siva, Louisville's point guard, is one of the quickest guards in the country. But Appling, along with Wood and Thornton, who are both fairly heady players, and then Trice and Curry off the bench are going to be real important to break the press, particularly Trice, who says, by the way, he's feeling as well as he's felt in the last 6 weeks. He's still not 100%, but he's better than last a week ago back in Columbus. And I think Izzo mentioned that another piece of that protective boot has come off. So that's a good sign. Maybe he's not going to have to get the ankle shot up like he did in Columbus. So he was taking numbing shots every day.
We know that Louisville is a very athletic team, have a lot of speed, a lot of guys. The front court guys can run, and you've already mentioned the back court guys, they can run as well. Do you think that Michigan State is fast enough, or they have enough experience to keep up with the Louisville players?
Well, if you're talking about in transition and in a running game, that's one thing. The press is the other. The other thing that's going to help Michigan State with the press is Draymond Green. There's really like another guard out there to see over the top of things and has just great court sense and vision. So that should help. But I don't know that they want to get into an all-out run-and-gun game with them. Michigan State's got a better half-court team. They have more skill down low. So I think they're going to want to set up and try to use that, maybe even look at the secondary play and try to get Woods and Thornton some three-point shots like they did against Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament final. So Izzo has talked about finding the balance between running, because clearly they can run, and a lot of some teams make the mistake of thinking Michigan State can't run. In fact, as you mentioned Affleck earlier, he can be a one-man fast break. So he's seen at various times this season. But I think that they'll run some, but they're also going to look to set up in the half court, and they're going to try to slow Louisville down a little bit in their own transition game. And that starts to some degree with rebounding.
How good of a shooting team is Louisville? We know Michigan State is around a 50% team at certain times. They're a pretty good shooting offensive team. They've been that way lately. But how good are their opponents?
They're not a very good shooting team. They have the shooting guard, Chris Smith, is a 39% three-point shooter. But overall, they're not a great jump shooting team. In fact, I think it's I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it's one of Pitino's worst perimeter shooting team since he's been at Louisville. They score in transition. They score off the press. They score with Siva getting into the lane and penetrating in addition.
Okay. Now, I want to throw you this question. I think maybe you guys have a lot of you reporters been talking about the fact that Michigan has lost three players that are going to transfer, or has that been much of a conversation among the reporters?
Well, people were surprised to hear, I think in particular, that Smotrich is leaving, because he's got some skill. And, you know, he made some big buckets for Michigan this past year, including the game-tying three, I think, in the Big Ten tournament against Minnesota. I remember I was sitting courtside watching that game. So I think him leaving was definitely a surprise to some people. They thought he might turn out to be a pretty good player. The bigger news maybe was the notion that Burke is looking at his NBA possibilities, that he might go.
Yes,
because that really changes the team.
It really does. If they lose him, then they'll be without a point guard, won't they?
They will. I mean, he was setting himself up to be, you know, one of the better point guards in the country next year. And he has a lot of skill and a lot of late game moxie, and guy that quick with that kind of a shot. I mean, that's what made him special. He's great change of speed, change of direction, but he could really shoot.
Yes, that would be very disappointing if he should end up going to Michigan. I've heard some people around here talking about the course. A lot of them are saying he's not ready yet. He needs another year of seasoning at least. But as you know, the way these young players are today, if they think they've got a chance to make it, or they can make it in the next league, a lot of them will leave if they get that opportunity.
Well, that's absolutely right, Earl. It's really amazing how much that's changed. As a matter of fact, colleague and I were yesterday. We're going through the draft list the last several years, and it's amazing how many freshmen and sophomores, even into the second round, guys that just probably should have stayed. It's incredible. I was thinking of the forward that played for UCLA, like Tyler Honeycutt, I think, played for UCLA last year. When I watched him play when they beat Michigan State in the first round, he wasn't ready for the NBA, and the draft is full of young players like that. It's just how it is. Somebody gets in their ear and they think they can get drafted and get out, and it's just irresistible, I guess.
Yes. Now, we've talked about it in the past, but what do you feel are the chances for Draymond Green making it into the NBA now?
Excuse me. Well, I think it's funny. He almost seems to get better by the week. And you almost don't. Sometimes it's hard to get your head around what you're seeing with him, because he does things one week that he hadn't necessarily done the week before. He made a play. I'm sure a lot of your listeners saw this against St. Louis last Sunday, late in the game, where he had the ball at the top of the key on the left side, and he drove into the lane, and the defense kind of collapsed around him. And he let the defense come, and he whipped an overhead two-handed just bullet into the corner for Appling. It hit that three. It kind of rolled around the rim. But the pass was just perfect. And I was talking to DJ Stevens in the locker room after the game, and I said, what do you think of that that pass. Look how powerful it drives into the lane and sees out of the corner of his eye and makes that pass and gets it with the velocity that he did. And so I said to Stevens, what did you think of that pass? That's all I said. And he said, unreal. And that's kind of what's going on with this guy right now. He's it's hard to put him in a category. It's hard to describe him. You know, he's 6'6". He technically is a power forward four, but he's really kind of a point power forward. And he showed – I remember in Bloomington 3-4 weeks ago at Indiana when he had – I don't know, what did he have, 32 that night, 29, I can't remember. But he showed some quickness on the block. I remember a spin move in particular. I remember a steal and a drive and a dunk on Watford where he showed a little bit of explosiveness. I mean, he's not going to be super quick, but he just seems to continue to show different facets of his game, and he's shooting fadeaways from the baseline, and now the elbow. He had a fadeaway from the elbow against St. Louis that was an NBA shot. So you just don't know. If he's just going to keep getting better and better and be one of these kind of guys, I mean, he might be a starter down the road. The defense is the issue. You know, where does he, who does he defend? I think he can hang with guys in the post. You know, can he check Paul Gasol? Probably not, but Gasol's got to check him. So who knows? At this point, I would say, who knows? I mean, he just is a surprise and a revelation, really, almost on a weekly basis.
Okay. Well, Sean, before I let you go, let me get this from you. Who do you think's going to win the night's game, and why?
Well, I think Michigan State is the better team by a little bit. They're fairly evenly matched. Louisville's got a little bit more athleticism and quickness. Michigan State has a little bit more skill, basketball skill. I think I just get the feeling, I hate to go back to Green again, but I just get the feeling that he's playing with such authority right now and such command that he is going to find a way down the stretch of a close game to make a couple of plays, either for himself, great for himself, or for his teammates, and get this team to the Elite Eight. And, somewhere maybe in the 60s.
Okay. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate your time and good luck, and hopefully enjoy watching the game tonight, buddy.
Thanks, Earl. Take care. I'll see you soon, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Sean Windsor from the Detroit Free Press talking about tonight's game between Michigan State and Louisville. Also, well, we've got Aaron Young here. And Aaron, you've got to give us an update on the score between Beecher and Schoolcraft.
Yeah, right now it's they just started the second quarter. We got 6:20 left. Beecher is up 20-10. So that is the current score with 6:15 and counting down left in the second quarter.
Okay, thank you. And Aaron will keep us updated on that game going on right now over at Breslin Center. And we're going to be talking a little bit more of that Michigan State-Louisville game with our good friend, WILX sports reporter, Jeremy Sampson, who's out there as well, covering the game between Michigan State and Louisville. But first, we've got to let you know you can stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870. WKAR.
After Trayvon Martin's shooting death, outrage, demands for justice, and calls for an honest conversation. For more than a year, our colleague Michelle Norris asked people to encapsulate their thoughts in 6 words on race cards. Think about what happened in Sanford, Florida. Think about race and send us 6 words. Email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Cunnan. Michelle Norris joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Partly sunny with isolated rain and thunderstorms and a high of 82 today. Tonight, a low of 62, mostly cloudy and a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Rain likely Friday, a chance of thunderstorms, a high of 75. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 66.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go back out to Phoenix and check in with our good friend Jeremy Sampson, who's there covering the game tonight between Michigan State and Louisville. Jeremy, how's it going, my man?
Doing well, Earl. Thanks. How are you?
Hey, doing good and trying to keep up with everything here. As you know, got to keep up with the state high school games going on right now and trying to keep track of that. Baseball, you know, we've got baseball starting tomorrow, 3-game set with Oakland. The hockey team is going to be going on. So, and you got the game tonight, so there's a lot going on around Michigan State.
Well, March is always one of the busiest times of the year, and you're absolutely right. With everything going on, hockey, basketball, baseball, high school basketball wrapping up, it is one busy time to be in our business, my friend.
It is, and then we had the big trade yesterday, Tim Tebow going from Denver to New York, and then we had the whole thing with all the New Orleans suspensions. I would say it's been a pretty busy couple of days.
Well, the thing that really affects locally that affects somebody with that Jets trade is
Drew
Stanton.
Yes, it does.
You know, he just went to New York, and they kind of promised him that, hey, you know, you're going to be our backup quarterback. But how things change in the span of a week's time. Drew, from what I'm hearing today, is going to ask for the Jets to either trade him or outright release him so that he can try and hook on somewhere else and then at least get a backup's job.
And, you know, he still, even if he stays there, if they don't give him up, he still might be the backup quarterback. I mean, as we know, Tim Tebow's skill set as a quarterback, it's more suited for the Wildcat run, but he might still be the better quarterback if it boils down to a 2 and a 3.
Well, I was surprised that the Jets didn't make more of a play in the very beginning for Peyton Manning. I mean, that Mark Sanchez has proven he is an okay NFL quarterback, and that's about as far as it goes. Hasn't had a lot of success in the playoffs. Really doesn't look like the kind of guy who's, you know, going to lead you to a Super Bowl. But they saw fit, New York did, to re-sign him. And then, you know, just an interesting move with Tebow because, you know, I know that Rex Ryan likes to run a little bit of Wildcat, but that's just going to create so much of a media buzz.
Oh, yeah, Will.
You know, they could be changing quarterbacks every possession out there. I mean, you just don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, that's for sure. So that's going to be really tough. I hope Stanton makes it somewhere. If he stays there, I think he still has a good chance to even beat out Tebow. But the thing is, the fans, you know, the fans, once Sanchez throws an incomplete pass or even throws an interception, you know they're going to be hollering for Tebow. They won't be hollering for the backup, but they'll just be hollering for Tebow. So that does put a little bit more pressure on Stanton to try to win that job because the fans are certainly going to be in Tebow's corner.
Well, everything that I've heard and read is that they've already given the backup job to Tebow. I mean, they're not going to bring him in there to compete with Drew Stanton to be the backup. So it's Drew that really gets stuck in a really difficult position in this. And, you know, in talking with him as I have since he's been in the NFL, he understands what a business it is. And this is, you know, unfortunately he had a couple different teams that he could have looked at to try and sign on with. He thought the Jets gave him maybe the best possibility to be a backup. A week later, that's not the case. So, you know, hopefully he'll get a chance to move on and put himself in a better position to play.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hey, Jeremy, tonight's game, how do you see this matchup between Michigan State and Louisville? I mean, Rick Pitino has never lost a game in the Sweet 16. Has Tom Izzo mentioned that at all?
Tom hasn't mentioned that, but we certainly mentioned it. And, well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, something's got to give. You're right. Pitino's 9-0 all-time in his coaching career in the Sweet 16. But every time at Michigan State, this is now for Tom Izzo the fourth time they've been a number one seed, they've gone to the Final Four as a number one seed. So something, you know, one of those records is going to have to fall tonight. To me, I still give the edge to Michigan State. You know, Louisville had a very spirited workout yesterday, a very intense practice. I mean, Pitino was yelling at his players, and that's something you almost never see in one of these public shoot-arounds. I mean, Marquette spent half of their shoot-around trying to hit half-court shots. I mean, it's usually just something where you go, you know, loosen your legs up a little bit, get acquainted to the court, acquainted to the surroundings. You know, you kind of get your shooter's eye a little bit. But this was an intense practice, and this is a different Louisville team than I remember back in 2009. When I was interviewing players before that Elite Eight game, they were talking about parades and what they were going to do when they won the national championship. Granted, that team was the number one overall seed in the tournament, and Michigan State knocked them off. yesterday a completely different tone from the Louisville players. Talking about, I mean, it was almost sickening how much they were praising Michigan State. I mean, they were really coached to say, you know, Michigan State's the number one seed. They're a great team. It's going to be a challenge for us. So not a lot of overconfidence from the Louisville locker room like we saw back in 09. And, you know, the key to this game really for me comes down to two things. How does Michigan State handle the pressure that Louisville's going to full court press them? And I think they'll be fine there. But Louisville has to find a way to deal with Michigan State on the inside, and especially guys like Derek Nix, Adrian Payne, and their physicality. Louisville, you know, that was a big thing for them yesterday, is how can we be as physical as Michigan State's going to be, because we know, according to the Louisville players, how hard Michigan State's going to play tonight.
Okay. Well, we got a question for you from Michael from Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
Thank you. Before I start talking about MSU, Jeremy, since you down there in Arizona with spring training and all the professional teams down in Arizona, is you going to check out any spring training games, or are you going to go to an NBA or NHL game or something before I ask you about Michigan State?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. We are right next door, actually, Michael, to Chase Field. We walked over there. It's, of course, where the Diamondbacks play, and former Spartan Kirk Gibson is the manager there. And then we couldn't get in, but we kind of looked around the outside. With all the responsibilities that we have to cover this tournament, it's going to be difficult to go to a spring training game. I wish I could tell you we could steal away for a couple hours and do that, but the chances are probably not very good.
Okay, then, before you get back home and when you get on Earl's show, read up on the Phoenix Coyotes, because they in financial peril right now. And I just wanted to hear from your opinion, is they going to make it in Phoenix or they going to move to Canada? But so next time when you guest hosting Earl's show, I'll probably call it in and ask you about that, okay?
Keep that in your head.
Here's the Michigan State question I want to ask you about. We all talking about Draymond Green and how valuable of a player he was and everything, but did you see this coming at all?
Yes. I mean, maybe not to the player of the year status, but, I mean, I watched him play as a high schooler, you know, at the Breslin Center a couple times, and what always jumped out at me was the way that he could handle the ball for a big guy.
Yes.
And he's going to be a key in breaking that pressure tonight, along with Brandon Wood, being in the middle of the floor. And anybody who's watched basketball knows that's the way you break a press. You get the ball from the wing to the middle of the floor, and then you can attack. And having a big man with the skill set that Draymond has to handle the ball is going to help Michigan State do that. Now, when you talk about him being, you know, was I surprised that he's up for Player of the Year? Part of that is because Michigan State's had such a great season, you know, winning the Big Ten regular season championship, being the Big Ten tournament champions, and also getting a number one seed. And having a triple-double, you know, in the first game of the NCAA tournament to go along with the one he had last year. So all that has brought this national recognition upon him. And he's handling pretty well because, I mean, when you think about it, that's a lot for a kid to take on. It's a lot of pressure. And if you notice late in the St. Louis game, the ball was in his hands 90% of the time. Tom said, we're going to put the ball in your hands, and he's the one who made the pass on the wing to Keith Appling when he hit the three, and you might think it'd be the other way around. But he basically put the ball in Draymond's hands and said, son, we're gonna win or lose with you, and I think you can do it. And Draymond seems to be up to the task. So
okay. Here's one more question before I let you get to the callers. Do you think it's going to be a Michigan State crowd there? Because I noticed a lot of people go down to Arizona for the winter. From Michigan, yep. So I just want to see if it's going to be more of a Michigan State crowd there. And I take it
well,
off the
I know there were a couple tickets from the Michigan State contingent. They did have some tickets still available, and as you can imagine, the flights out here to Arizona are pretty costly. But they did have an alumni event last night at the team hotel, and there were over 600 Michigan State alumni that showed up to that pep rally that they had. So the thing that I – and there were a lot of people at the Michigan State shoot-around yesterday. And that's the one thing that I notice, Earl, when we go on these road trips, is that when you go to these public shoot-arounds that are free, Michigan State always has the most fans. It doesn't matter where you go in the country, Michigan State people come out to watch this basketball team. So – You know, the tickets are divided equally, and it'll be interesting. You know, I always think that the neutrals tend to root for the underdog. Mm-hmm. And in this case, that'll be Louisville. So if it's a close game late, I expect more of the neutrals to kind of root for the underdog. But I still think there's going to be a pretty good Michigan State contingent here.
Yes, Jeremy, if from what I've been hearing and reading, that Louisville is not that good of a shooting team. So how do you assess Michigan State's chances of winning this game and downing a Louisville team who doesn't shoot the ball that well?
No, you're right. Statistically looking at them, they don't shoot it that well. What does scare me a little bit is they have a balanced scoring attack. They have, you know, basically they go about 6-7 deep, but the top six players all score between 9 and 13 points a game. So they spread the wealth. There's no one guy, one go-to guy, or two guys that do the majority of the scoring. They will spread it around a little bit. So that's, I think that makes a team tough to defend when you have five guys on the floor with the ability to score like Louisville does, and when they make substitutions, you know, you rotate that sixth person in there. So although they don't shoot it well via percentage, I still think they're a tough team to handle just because you can't concentrate, or there isn't one guy that you're going to concentrate on defensively more than another. You know, Kyle Kirk's a guy who can beat you from the outside, certainly, and Siva can break you. And I think that's what Tom Izzo's most worried about, is keeping Siva out of the paint and keeping him from being able to drive, because when he breaks down his man, that just opens up everybody else if you have to have some help defense.
Okay. Now, what has been word? I bet you guys have been talking about the three Michigan guys transferring. What have you heard about that, and potentially Trey Burke, you know, applying for the NBA draft?
Well, that was a big surprise to me. I guess Evan Smotrich was the big surprise. I mean, you know, the other two were basically role players, and that didn't surprise me much. But, you know, Smotrich having played in every game for the first 2 years of his career, you know, that did surprise me a little bit. Yeah, I think Trey Burke's going to take a look at the NBA. Personally, I think it would be a mistake for him to go after his freshman year. I mean, he was not really looked upon as an NBA-type player coming into Michigan. Now, certainly he proved playing this year that he has the skill set to play in the NBA at some point. I would just, you know, I think he could better his position by staying in school for at least another year and making himself a little better. But that team, you're right, if Burke leaves, you know, without Burke, without Smotrich, now, you know, you're looking at a much different lineup. And, of course, you know, they're graduating a couple of key seniors as well. So, you know, you're looking at that Michigan team next year having a big overhaul in their roster.
Yes, that would be quite surprising if I don't think he'll leave, but he could. I mean, he is looking at that league, and I guess it's always that potential he can go, especially if the league scouts tell him he could be a first round draft pick. And as they say, this is a year that they're not a lot of NBA type guards in the draft, and if they think he's one, well, there's probably a good chance that you know, he'll be selected, because they are short on guards this year. But he is a little small and a little undersized, and he does need to get stronger and things like that, and be able to get his shot off a little better when he's going against bigger, stronger players. So those are things he'll have to weigh. But it definitely was a surprise hearing all that information coming out of U of M yesterday.
Well, you know, when you only have 12 to 15 guys, you know, on your roster, and you got 13 on scholarship, you know, and you have three leave at one time, you know, that yeah, looks bad. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on, you know, however you look at it, it just doesn't look good when you have three kids leaving a program at one time. But, you know, Michigan State went through that a little bit, you know, in the past couple of years with Chris Allen and Corey Lucius leaving. So, you know, I think, you know, players have to find what's right for them. But having three guys leave on the same day certainly didn't look good for John Beilein in the program.
Okay, got another caller for you. This one, Ray from Fort Wayne. Ray, how you doing?
How you guys doing today?
Okay.
Who were the three players that left Michigan's program?
Evan Smotrich, Carlton Brundridge, and who was the other guy, Jeremy?
Third one was it Robinson? The third one was, I mean, he was basically, you know, the 13th man on the roster. It wasn't anybody who played
right
at all.
Where are they all going?
They don't know yet. They're weighing their options of where they're going to go to.
Well, you know what? I used to be the biggest Michigan fan around, and they revoked my season tickets. I'm not very happy with some stinking attorney they got down there, St. Thomas Blessing, that called me up and told me to shut up and do exactly what he told me. But Brady Hoke says he don't know the difference between Ohio State and Ohio. Let me tell you something. I bet he knows the difference between Ohio State now when they kicked their butt by 25 and then Ohio beat them. I bet he knows who they are now.
Well, of course he does.
They're rich and arrogant. They need to humble themselves down there like I did from God. Thank you, Earl.
Okay, thank you. Yep, thought he had a question, but he didn't have a question there.
No, he just needed to rant. He just needed to get that off his chest.
Yep.
So hopefully he feels a little bit better.
Yeah, hopefully he does. I know this is one thing that sort of you probably heard more of it about out there since you're closer to Denver. But Ben Gordon had a heck of a game last night for the Pistons. 45 points, 9 for 9 from the 3-point stripe. What a game, except the Pistons lost.
Well, he had a heck of a game, but he missed the shot to win it.
Yeah, he did.
And the block out on the free throw was atrocious, which is, I mean, I've ranted on your show before, Earl, when I filled in. The NBA, I can't watch it. I just can't. I mean, when you're talking about a simple play like that at the end of the game where you have to block out your man to get the rebound,
yes,
you know, to get the ball back to go down at that point to have a chance to win it. I mean, you have to make that play. And, you know, that's just part of the reason why the NBA, to me, is frustrating to watch. If you can't make a play like that late in the game, you know, it's just that's what makes it hard for me to watch. But you're right. Gordon had a great game, shot it well. He was just one short because he needed the last one to win it.
That's true. I got to admit, I'm with you, Jeremy. I have a hard time watching NBA basketball nowadays. I'm definitely a college first man, and an NBA is a far, far second to the college game. And it didn't happen overnight. It's one of those things that, you know, it comes at you over a time. And when you see so many bad plays in the NBA and so little defense at times, it just leaves you disheartened when you try to follow that game.
Well, especially when you and I follow a team as closely as Michigan State that, you know, in my opinion, does all the right things to win basketball games. I mean, they defend and they rebound. It's, you know, winning at the game of basketball is it's not rocket science. You know, it's really been proven over time that if you play defense better than the other guy and you rebound like they do, you're going to win more than you're going to lose. And I think that's the formula that wins. And unfortunately, you don't see that a lot in the NBA.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, we have an update on the game. We have Beecher's up 36-19 over Schoolcraft. It's halftime. So Flint Beecher over Schoolcraft, 36-19 in the high school semifinals.
Schoolcraft's your defending state champion, but
yes,
they certainly have some work to do there in the second half. And, of course, they knocked off Guam Westphalia just the other night to get back into the semifinals there in the Breslin Center. But it looks like they're going to have some work to do in the second half.
Yes, they are. Well, Jeremy, before we let you go, give us your score. Give us your take on the game tonight.
Well, if you're going to pin me down, I'm going to say Michigan State 68 and Louisville 61.
Okay. Well, that's good, my friend. And, hey, I look forward to talking with you when you get back. And we'll talk – well, we always talk a lot of sports anyway. But look forward to you. Have a good trip back, my friend.
All right, we invite everybody to tune in to WILX this afternoon, 5 and 6 o'clock. We'll have live reports on the Spartans and Cardinals. And, of course, tonight at 11, we'll have all your coverage from the locker room. We'll let you know what the guys were saying after the game as well.
Okie doke. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeremy.
All right, Earl, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jeremy Sampson, WILX TV 10 reporter. And like he says, 5 and 6 tonight. And then check out the 11 o'clock report. You'll have all kind of stuff and goodies for you from the locker room, from the game out there in Phoenix. So do that. The time now, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Students take standardized tests in grade school, middle school, even high school. Tests that show what they've learned and what they haven't. So why not college? A growing number of universities are trying it out, but many argue you can't measure 4 years of college in a 90-minute test. I'm Neil Conan, holding colleges accountable. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Partly sunny with isolated rain and thunderstorms today, the high 82. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and a low of 62. Then a cooling trend starting tomorrow, rain likely, maybe thunderstorms, the high 75. Mostly cloudy Saturday, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, and a high of 66. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And this is what a fantastic day. We've got the semifinals going on at Breslin Arena right now in basketball. Flint Beecher is up over Schoolcraft. And we have the basketball game tonight between Michigan State and Louisville in the Sweet 16. We've got baseball going on tomorrow, Michigan State versus Oakland University right here at Spartan Stadium. And then we have the hockey team out in Union, New York for the first round of the NC2A tournament. And so we've got a lot of things going on right here at AM 870 WKAR. And I hope to talk shortly with our good friend Dave Burkett, and we're talking some NFL football because there's so much going on in the NFL with the New Orleans suspensions and, of course, with Tim Tebow being traded and what will happen with our other friend Drew Stanton, who's with the New York Jets. How will that impact him? As Jeremy said, will he be looking for a trading partner right now to get out of the New York deal? So much going on in the sports world, and I'm trying to keep up with it and trying to get everybody that we talk with and meet during the year a little information from them, but we certainly try to do that. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, we know tonight Keith Appling will be a big key to Michigan State's chances of beating Louisville. He's the lead point guard. He has Travis Trice behind him to fill that role as well. It's going to be a tough game for the Spartans, and they know Louisville is a pressing team, and that's going to be a lot of work for them. They're going to have to try to come back and come at Louisville, that's for sure. Well, let's go over to and check in with our good friend Aaron Young. Aaron, what's the score? Is it still Beecher 36-19, or has Schoolcraft made up some ground?
Nope, it's still 36-19. They just started third quarter here, so second half's just beginning. They have same score, so Schoolcraft's got some catching up to do. But they were close there in the second quarter. They cut it down to about 6 or 7 points, but then Beecher went on another run and kind of pulled away there. So Schoolcraft's got their work cut out for them here in the second half.
Okay, so that's going to be a big job. I mean, I know Flint Beecher is going to be tough. They're one of the tougher teams in the state, and you see them in there year in and year out, almost getting there to that final and getting that far. But it's been a team that's really been successful. Of course, being a fellow Flintstone, not too surprised that some of the Flint teams do a good job and find a way of getting up here, and they've certainly done a very good job of that. Hey, you can call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I did want to talk about the NBA fines and the whole bounty system, and I'll tell you, hats off to Roger Goodell and to him and to for him taking such a strong stand, and they're trying to clean up the sport of football. Being a guy who loves defense, I know the game is changing. I know it's going from those brutal hits that I've seen in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's certainly tailing off. They're trying to make guys hit more like the rule has always said, and get better hits, not leading with the helmet and things like that, watching for concussions as well. So I commend Roger Goodell for trying to make the game safer and trying to take things like these bounties out of the game. So my hat's off to him. I'm very glad he's done this, and maybe it will make the game a lot safer. I think it'll still be a good hard-hitting game. Watching it last year where they've taken all that, so the you can't hit the quarterbacks like they used to. They'd always used to be hitting on quarterbacks all the time. But now you can't. They're treating the quarterbacks like the receivers, basically. You can't touch the quarterbacks until after they've. They can't move and run it, move an extra foot again after the ball is released from their hand. So they're trying to make the game safer, and it needs to do that. They need to make the game safer at all levels, and that's one that people will find. And hopefully that will come to pass, that the games will be a lot safer now. That's for sure. And as far as the Tim Tebow trade, and what that means for the New York Jets, and also what that means for Drew Stanton. Only a time will tell about that one, and we'll look at that as well. So let's see. We've got Dave Burkett on the line. So let's bring in our good friend Dave Burkett. Dave, how you doing, my man?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay. I know this is a busy day for you, because I know that Drew Stanton was traded to the Jets, and now I hear he might be trying to move and get out of that deal or seek a trade for somewhere else. How have you heard anything about from Drew so far?
You know, I haven't talked to Drew at all. I've seen those reports, and I believe him 100%, Earl. I mean, I think Drew is, you know, why he left Detroit was because he wanted to be a number two quarterback somewhere, and I think the Jets made it relatively clear yesterday, you know, by giving up what they gave up, that he's going to be probably their number three quarterback, you know, that they envisioned Tebow being the number two guy. So, if I'm Drew Stanton and I feel a little bit put off by everything I just went through in free agency, signing with them, I might be looking to go somewhere else. I don't know for sure it's going to happen. I mean, he did sign a contract, and they gave him a signing bonus, so I don't know if they'd have to rectify that situation if they let him go. But I guess that's something that we'll see how it plays out here in the next couple of days.
Yes, I mean, I know you had the meeting with Stephen Tulloch today. That was the guy that Detroit wanted to sign badly. I understand there wasn't a lot of other teams seeking Tulloch's, skills, but he was very good and very valuable to Detroit, wasn't he? He still is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and, you know, he said today that his agent had conversations with a few teams, and I couldn't, you know, pinpoint what exact teams those are. But I think from the Lions' perspective, you know, Stephen Tulloch said exactly what they wanted to do, what they were looking for in a middle linebacker, and he obviously had a pretty good year last year. And I think at the end of the day, you know, he might mean a little bit more to them than he did to some of the other teams that had a hole. You know, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Arizona, some other teams that were looking for middle linebackers. So, you know, Tulloch wanted to be in Detroit at the end of the day. He's comfortable here. He knows the coaches. He's played under Schwartz for most of his career, and Matt Burke, for that matter, their linebackers coach. So I think when all was said and done, this was something that was definitely going to happen. And, you know, for my sake, rather than having to chase him down for a few more days, I'm glad it happened when it did.
Okay. What about that Tim Tebow trade? Were you surprised to hear it? I mean, I was surprised to hear it going to the Jets and for, you know, here he was, a former first-round draft choice, going for a fourth and sixth rounder. And then if Jacksonville had got him, it would have been a seventh rounder.
Well, I was a little bit surprised that a team was willing to give up a fourth rounder for him, Earl, to be frank. I mean, I think I don't think much of Tim Tebow as a quarterback. You know, obviously he's a winner. He won at Florida. He won last year with the Broncos, got them to the playoffs. Good leader. I know some people are rubbed wrong by you know, him and his religious beliefs. But look, I think, you know, there's something to be said for having Tim Tebow on your team in the locker room. But I just think in the NFL, where draft picks are so valuable, where money is so tight against the salary cap, it surprised me that the Jets were willing to give up what they gave up for him. Now, having said that, you know, I think he's going to walk into it's going to be a circus of an atmosphere out there in New York with him and Sanchez and all the media pressure that's on them anyway. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that one develops, Earl.
It does. Well, you know, I called you because I wanted to talk to you about the whole New Orleans thing and the whole suspensions. What's your take on all the suspension and everything and how Roger Goodell handled that?
Another one that shocked me, Earl, I got to be honest. Look, I didn't see a year suspension coming down from Sean Payton. In retrospect, maybe I should have. And I think there's two things at play here. One, you know, obviously the NFL has changed. I mean, this is something that's gone on in locker rooms for a long time. You know, not just the bounties, but the paper for performance type things. You know, $1,000 for a big interception or whatnot. I've talked to a number of current and former Lions players across the league, and I think it's just something that's been ingrained in the culture of football for a while. The bounties, I think that's a little bit more. You know, it's something that you can't do. Nobody, look, everybody knows this is a business. You're providing for your family. You know, you don't want to go out and hurt somebody. That's not your intention, to take somebody's livelihood away. And I think the fact that coaches got involved in it and were administering and contributing to the bounty pool, that's a definite no-no. And then the fact that you lie to the NFL and it takes basically 2 years to complete the investigation, you know, I think that's where the harshness of the penalties comes in.
Yes, Greg Williams being suspended indefinitely, that one definitely surprised me that he would get an indefinite suspension. We know how indefinite suspensions run in the NFL. He'll be at least suspended for a year. But even after that, do you see him maybe getting back after this year or 2 years? How do you think they're going to handle that Greg Williams suspension?
Well, you know, I think Greg, and I don't know exactly how the investigation went off. It obviously wasn't this way from the beginning, but he seems contrite in his statements publicly the last few weeks, and I think he needs to keep that up, obviously. But yeah, he'll be gone for a whole year. He'll probably have to apply for reinstatement next year, and then he'll have to find a job. You know, he might be persona non grata, and especially if things shake out in St. Louis and they have to get rid of him, because new coaching staff there, new coordinator, they need somebody that can run that defense. So I don't know what his job status is going to be there going forward. So you might see Greg Williams have to apply his craft in college.
Dave, you know, Goodell has talked about suspending some of the New Orleans players, but at this point, if they have 20-something players that are involved in that, would you say maybe they won't have to suspend so many players other than maybe they'll take a lot of money from them?
Yeah, no, I do think, you know, obviously the punishment for the players is going to be less drastic than it was for the coaches and the general manager, Mickey Loomis, who got 8 games. I mean, I just don't think you can decimate a team like that. And some of these guys are probably spread across the league now. You know, it was obviously this thing has happened over the last 3 years, 2009, 2010, and in the last season. So not everybody is going to be still in a New Orleans Saints uniform, and I think they might have to stagger some of those suspensions or if they are handed out. You might see more fines, and I don't know that anybody's going to be docked you know, a significant amount of time, but the NFL does have to come down a little bit on the players that were involved too.
Yes, that's for sure. And, of course, Sean Payton losing a whole year. As Drew Brees has said, many of the players, he's the team leader. He's been the focal point of that team. That definitely hurts them for the year. And I get the only thing I can say, I guess they'll go from being a first-place team probably being a last-place team at this point in time.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've debated that with a few people. Look, I think it's obviously a huge blow for the team. I mean, Sean Payton is one of the best coaches in the league. I think he's roundly, you know, most people would agree with that. I mean, great play caller, very good coach. The fact that you're going to miss him for a whole season, that spells, you know, doom for a team. But I think as long as you have Drew Brees, as long as you have Jimmy Graham, as long as that offense is intact, I think the Saints will be okay. I don't know, you know, they're not going to go 13-3 again. It might be tough for them to make the playoffs, but I don't think you're going to see them totally fall apart. And you know, like the Indianapolis Colts did this past year, I don't think you're going to be looking at a 3 or 4 win team.
Well, I know one thing we'll be looking at. We're going to be looking at those New York Jets with the trade and everything. Because as you know, if Mark Sanchez has a bad game or throws a pick or two, you know, they'll be calling for Tim Tebow right away. I mean, as you say, New York is going to be definitely a circus atmosphere.
Oh, it's going to be crazy out there. I mean, we saw, I don't know if you saw the back pages of the tabloids already out there. I mean, it was just, and Earl, it just came down bang, bang yesterday, the Saints punishment and the Tebow trade and then the hang up with the trade. And it just seemed like, I guess it's a testament to the power of the NFL that you know, these two instances in free agency have really been the talk of the last couple of weeks in the sports world. And that's with March Madness going on. That's with games 6 months away. So, you know, it's just the NFL is such a powerful league, and Tebow is such a polarizing figure that I don't think, and being in that New York media market, you're not going to be able to avoid hearing about him for the next year.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Dave, I want to thank you for being with us. Always a pleasure talking with you, and thanks for coming on and sharing with the Tim Tebow deal and with the whole New Orleans things. It's certainly a pleasure and a treat having you on and talking with us.
Hey, no problem, Earl. We'll talk again.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye. And that's Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press talking with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So, Aaron, what's going on in the basketball game now, buddy?
Yeah, looks like Beecher's kind of pulling away here. We got Beecher. Someone just shot a basket. Now it's Beecher 48, Schoolcraft 24. We got 2:50 left in the third quarter.
Well, without something jarring happening, it looks like Beecher will be playing for the state championship coming up on Saturday.
Yep, for sure. Unless they have a complete meltdown. They're too good of a team, too good of a coach team to kind of let that happen. So, yeah, it looks like they're going to be on their way to the state championship.
Well, let me ask you, I just got Dave's thoughts on the trade. What's your thoughts on the trade for the Tim Tebow going to New York Jets?
Man, it's a business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, Denver made a lot of promises. Obviously, we all know it's a business, so I don't think anyone's surprised that it happened. And now, you know, he's going to New York, and we know that Sanchez hasn't really proven himself as a great quarterback. So, you know, earlier, Jeremy said he's an okay quarterback, and I agree with that. So we'll have to see how it pans out. I feel bad for Drew Stanton. You know, again, that's part of the business. He knows it, but hopefully they can get him out of there and he can get somewhere where it works for him. But, New York loves media. And so, there's a lot of media especially with, their coach there and Sanchez. So we'll see how it plays out with Tebow. Who knows? They do a lot of weird things there in their playbook, so they might fit them in, they might not, and we'll have to see how things play out.
Okay. Well, Aaron, I want to get your thoughts and your take on the three Michigan players transferring, because I know you follow basketball closely.
Yeah, that was actually, I read that late last night. My bedtime's usually pretty late, so I got the news, but it was just, one, it's surprising, because they didn't really explain why. So the players leaving, that's going to hurt Michigan quite a bit, actually. I know that they got some good recruits coming in, which is good. But, you know, the fact that Smotrich played all the games, a lot of minutes, is quite surprising. So there had to be an internal problem there somewhere that I'm sure will be leaked eventually, but probably just not soon. And then, you know, Burke, man, he is.
Yes.
He's great. Don't get me wrong, but he's not ready for the NBA. You know, he had great games this year, but he also showed moments where, man, it's like, okay, you know, another year, you know, he can really hone in on his skills, and you know, hopefully he can decide that, because that would be a huge blow to Michigan. You know, he's a great point guard, but if they lose him, they're going to need a lot of players to step up next year. This is not what Michigan needs. They were hoping to go forward with their basketball program. If all of this pans out and Burke leaves for the NBA, this kind of gives them, I think, a step backwards and not forwards like they're hoping.
Yes, I know Michigan would be, and especially the Michigan fans, they certainly don't want to lose a Trey Burke, who was, like you say, a very good player as a freshman and had a very good freshman season. And you're right, I think, and you think, and a lot of people think, he's not ready yet. But the one thing, I guess it is okay for him to explore his options. So, you know, that'll if he just explores his options, and then will he be able to come back and play the John Beilein system and the way he wants him to play, because John Beilein is one of those coaches. When you play for him, you have to play his way. You know, it's his way or the highway, and that's the way Beilein coaches. And you know, even though they're talking about McCrary coming in, yes, McCrary's a good player. I'm just not sure Beilein will let him play down low, or play if he's a low post player, he'll stay that way, or he'll have to learn how to be an outside shooter like a lot of the Michigan players are. When you look at John Beilein and how he coaches, just look a lot at Bo Ryan. He's similar style of coaching, similar philosophy to what he does, and the same thing that Bo Ryan does. So if you look at the team and the way those teams operate, you'll see a lot of Bo Ryan in Wisconsin and John Beilein operate a very similar system in play and how they play the game. Hey, want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for calling. And we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow on another very busy day on Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock. You've been listening to AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll have Sam Hosey on to talk about the high school prep playoffs going on tomorrow. We'll talk with Sam about that. And so just make sure you come back and join us tomorrow. And you'll hear Sam Hosey right here on WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.